Chapter 16, Observing the Sunnah and the Manners of Its Obedience. Allah the Exalted says in the Quran,
وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا.
And whatsoever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it.
And Allah also says,
وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى.
Nor does he speak of his own desire.
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى.
It is only a revelation revealed.
And Allah also says,
قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ.
Say, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins.
And Allah also says,
لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ.
Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah you have a good example to follow for him who hopes for the meeting with Allah and the last day and remembers Allah much.
And Allah also says,
فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.
But no, by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you judge in all disputes between them and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and accept them with full submission.
And Allah also says,
فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ.
And if you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger, if you believe in Allah and in the last day.
And Allah also says,
مَن يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ.
He who obeys the Messenger has indeed obeyed Allah.
And Allah also says,
وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ.
And verily, you are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path.
And Allah also says,
فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
And let those who oppose the Messenger's commandment beware, lest some trials should befall them, or a painful torment be inflicted on them.
And Allah also says,
وَاذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ.
And remember, O you members of the Prophet's family, the graces of your Lord, that which is recited in your houses of the verses of Allah and the Prophet's legal ways.
156.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do not ask me unnecessarily about the details of the things which I do not mention to you. Verily, the people before you were doomed because they were used to putting many questions to their prophets and had differences about their prophets. Refrain from what I forbid you and do what I command you to the best of your ability and capacity. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Commentary. To be unnecessarily inquisitive and create differences and confusion in the injunctions of Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, leads to destruction. The safest course lies only in following the orders of Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, without ifs and buts. Hair splitting in religious issues falls in this category. It opens the door for chaos and conflict and paves the way for disunity and separation. May Allah give sense to the Muslim Ummah to abandon this road and take the right path which ensures peace and security. Let it be absolutely clear that the right path is one and one alone. There cannot be multiple right paths. It is one and singular. Once a community leaves the straight path, it is sure to go astray.
157.
Irbab ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu reported, "One day Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam delivered us a very eloquent khutbah, on account of which eyes shed tears and hearts were full of tears. A man said, 'O Prophet of Allah, this is as if it were a parting advice, so advise us.' He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, 'I admonish you to fear Allah, to listen and obey, even if an Abyssinian slave is appointed as your leader, because whosoever among you shall live after me will see much discord. So hold fast to my sunnah and the examples of the rightly guided caliphs who will come after me. Adhere to them and hold to it fast. Beware of new things in the deen, because every bid'ah is a misguidance.' Collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi."
Commentary: this hadith stresses piety, obedience to the leader, following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the first four noble caliphs. It strictly forbids innovation in deen. This hadith also reveals the prediction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Muslim Ummah will become a victim of dissension. He also prescribed the right means to counteract it. The remedy that he has proposed for this problem is that Muslims should never deviate from the path laid for them by him and his righteous successors. This is the touchstone for discovering the truth from the mess of different views. All the troubles of Muslims would come to an end if they accept this as the one singular criterion of right and wrong.
158.
Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, "Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'Every one of my ummah will enter Jannah, except those who refuse.' He was asked, 'Who will refuse?' He, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, 'Whoever obeys me shall enter Jannah, and whosoever disobeys me refuses to enter Jannah.' Collected by Al-Bukhari."
Commentary: the word Ummah here stands for the community which accepted the invitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is to say, the people who on his call embraced Islam. Out of this community, who follow him faithfully will go to Jannah.
159.
Salama ibn Akhwa radiyallahu anhu reported, "My father said that a person ate in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his left hand. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'Eat with your right hand.' He said, 'I cannot do that.' Thereupon he," meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "said, 'May you never do that.' It was pride that prevented him from doing it, and he could not raise it," meaning the right hand, "up to his mouth afterwards." Collected by Muslim.
Commentary: 1. To eat with the left hand without a valid reason is a repulsive act. Besides eating, every other good action was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his right hand. 2. To ignore the injunctions of Allah and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of pride is a serious offense and can endanger even the faith of a Muslim.
160.
Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, straighten your rows during salah, or Allah will create dissension amongst you. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In another narration reported by Muslim, Nu'man ibn Bashir narrated, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to straighten our rows, meaning in salah, as if he was straightening an arrow with their help, until he saw that we had learnt it from him. One day, he came out, stood up for salah, and was about to say, Allahu Akbar, when he saw a man whose chest was bulging out from the row. He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, slaves of Allah, you must straighten your rows, or Allah would create dissension amongst you.
Commentary. The real meaning of this saying is that Allah will create dissension and conflict among you. In any case, this hadith makes abundantly clear the importance of setting the rows in congregational salah, to which the present-day Muslims do not pay much attention. Because of the lack of understanding of Islamic principles, no one pays heed to the proper formation of rows in mosques in congregational salah.
161.
Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu reported, a house in Al-Madina caught fire at night, and the roof and walls fell down upon the occupants. When this was reported to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, fire is your enemy, so put it out before you go to bed. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Commentary. The order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith relates to the lamps which produced light by means of oil and wick which can cause fire. Such lamps were used in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no such risk in electric bulbs which are being used in the present day.
162.
Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the similitude of guidance and knowledge with which Allah has sent me is like a rain which has fallen on some ground. A fertile part of earth has absorbed water and brought forth much grass and herbs. Another part, which is solid, held the water, and Allah benefits men thereby, who drank and gave others to drink and used it for irrigation. But some of it has fallen on a portion of sandy land, which neither retains the water nor produces herbage. Such is the likeness of the man who understands the religion of Allah and who gets benefit of what Allah has sent me with. He learns and teaches others. It is also the likeness of the man who neither raises his head on that account, meaning he does not benefit from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with, nor accepts Allah's guidance with which I am sent. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Commentary. In this hadith, the guidance and knowledge which was sent to mankind through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is compared to the rain, which is beneficial because this knowledge resuscitates the dead hearts, as does the rain to a barren land. One who makes use of this knowledge is likened to a good soil, and one who acquires this knowledge and imparts it to others but does not put it into practice is considered akin to a hard land which holds water and other people utilize it. A person who neither learns it nor acts upon it is like a desolate land which neither holds water nor produces anything. Such a person is the worst of all, because he neither himself benefits from it, nor lets others make use of it. This hadith induces one to acquire knowledge, impart it to others, put it into actual practice, and warn people from neglecting this duty.
163.
Jabir radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'My parable and that of yours is like a man who kindled a fire. When it has illuminated all around him, the moths and grasshoppers began to fall therein. He tried to push them away, but they overcame him and jumped into it. I am catching hold of your waist ties to save you from the fire, but you slip away from my hands.' Collected by Muslim." 164. Jabir radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded the licking of fingers after eating and the cleaning of the dish, saying, 'You do not know in what portion the blessing of Allah lies.' Collected by Muslim." In another narration, Jabir said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'When a morsel of any of you falls down, you should pick it up and remove any dirt or dust on it and then eat it. And don't leave it for shaitan. And do not wipe your hand with the towel until you have licked your fingers, for you do not know in what portion of the food the barakah of Allah lies."
Commentary. This hadith mentions the extreme kindness which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the welfare of his followers. It also mentions the misfortune of those who would become the fuel of hell for not accepting Islam in spite of the utmost affection and ardor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring them in the fold of Islam. People who fail to accept Islam would fall into the hellfire in the same way moths fall into the fire.
164.
Jabir radiyallahu anhu reported, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded the licking of fingers after eating and the cleaning of the dish, saying, 'You do not know in what portion the blessing of Allah lies.' Collected by Muslim." In another narration, Jabir said, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'When a morsel of any of you falls down, you should pick it up and remove any dirt or dust on it and then eat it. And don't leave it for shaitan. And do not wipe your hand with the towel until you have licked your fingers, for you do not know in what portion of the food the barakah of Allah lies."
Commentary. This hadith enjoins Muslims to lick their fingers after meals, wipe off the food left in the utensils, and eat morsels which fall down in the course of eating. All these things have many advantages. 1. Maybe that the blessed portion of the food is that which sticks to the fingers or utensils. 2. This practice is a sign of humility and aversion from the style of proud and haughty people. 3. It saves one from being ungrateful to Allah. 4. By these means, one defeats Satan. In the light of these Islamic injunctions, one can very well judge violations of Islamic teachings and ungratefulness to Allah, which is evident from the large quantity of food which is thrown on the garbage.
165.
Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported, "The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 'On the day of resurrection, you will be assembled, barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised.' He then recited,
'كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيده وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين.'
as we began the first creation, we shall repeat it. It is a promise binding upon us. Truly, we shall do it. And continued, the first to be clothed on the day of resurrection will be Ibrahim. Then some of my companions will be taken to the left. And when I will say, they belong to my ummah, O my Lord, it would be said, you do not know what they invented after you had left them. I shall then say, as the righteous slave, Isa ibn Maryam said,
وَكُنْتُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَهِيدًا مَا دُمْتُ فِيهِمْ فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ
And I was a witness over them while I dwelt amongst them. But when you took me up, you were the watcher over them. And you are a witness to all things. If you punish them, they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, verily you, only you, are the Almighty, the All-Wise. I shall be told, they continue to turn on their heels since you parted from them. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Commentary. 1. We learn from this hadith that the punishment of apostasy is hell. For this reason, this crime is punishable by death in Islam. 2. We also learn from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had neither knowledge of the unseen, nor is he omnipresent and omniscient, as is falsely believed by deviated people. If he had the knowledge of the unseen, or had he been omnipresent and omniscient, he would not have accepted such persons as his followers who were, in fact, apostates. This is the reason, when he was informed of their real conduct through wahi or revelation, he disowned them in the same way as Prophet Isa or Jesus had disowned the people who had started worshiping him and his mother as God.
166.
Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiyallahu anhu reported, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited flicking pebbles by the index finger and the thumb. And he said, it does not kill a game animal, nor does it inflict wound on the enemy, but gorges the eye and breaks the tooth. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In another narration, it is said, a close relative of Abdullah ibn Mughaffal, radiyallahu anhu, was hitting with pebbles using the index finger and the thumb. He said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has forbidden it, saying that it does not kill the game. He repeated the act, and Ibn Mughaffal said to him, I told you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had prohibited it, but you repeated it. I shall never talk to you.
Commentary. Number 1. This hadith exhorts us not to do anything which is likely to harm others. Number 2. It also tells us that it is permissible to sever connections and speech with the people who disobey the injunctions of Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
167.
Abbas ibn Rabi' radiyallahu anhu reported, I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu kissing the black stone and saying, I know that you are just a stone, and that you can neither do any harm nor give benefit. Had I not seen Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam kissing you, I would not have kissed you. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim.
Commentary. Number 1.
The statement of Umar radiyallahu anhu quoted in this hadith is highly significant in the sense that he wanted to make it absolutely clear to the illiterate and ignorant that Al-Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone of the Kaaba, is not kissed because stones are venerated in Islam, as was the practice in the pre-Islamic period. What he wanted to emphasize was that kissing the black stone was in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And number two, obedience of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in every affair is a must, whether one understands the wisdom behind it or not. By the analogy of the kissing of the black stone, some people think it is permissible to kiss and show respect to the tombs of saints. But this is not a valid reason, because kissing the black stone is ibadah, an act of worship, or a part of it, and every ibadah is tawqifiyah, meaning prescribed by Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it can neither be increased nor diminished, nor can it be graded as something else.